We welcome in from 98.5thesportshub.com. Alex Barth is with us ahead of tonight's wild card matchup between the Patriots and the Bills. Alex, what's going on?
What's going on? It's a little jarring to hear Zach Brown Band after we've been in single-digit temperatures all day. Gotta say.
It doesn't really fit, does it?
No. Great band, great music.
But it will.
A day like today, it's kind of tough.
At July 15th at Fenway Park, it'll be terrific.
Absolutely.
So that'll be great. Alex, tell me, how do the Patriots get a win tonight? How do they do it?
They've got to shorten the game. This is, and I remember talking about this before the Bucs game. I think there's a similar thread you can pull from that. The Bills' offense is obviously very high-powered, but they do need a bit of a margin for error to operate. If you look at drives per game, right, how many times does a team possess the ball? The Bills are towards the top in the league. The reason for that is because they play a very up-tempo game. They want as many shots at this as possible. And if you look at how they've performed late in games, they've played very well in the fourth quarter, right? The last two games, they struggled through the first three. I think when we talk about late in games, though, in addition to the concept of late in game being time, right, fourth quarter, final 15 minutes, I think you can also characterize late in game as just how much have you been on the field? And this is something we've seen from the Patriots defense. People have talked about them struggling late in games, but it's not so much to me tied to time. It's how many plays have they played, right? How many snaps have they had? Is it, you know, they're fine up to around 60, 65. Once you get into 70, you start to struggle. That also happens to be the Bills' sweet spot. So I think if you're the Patriots, the biggest thing for me, and there's a million little ways to go about doing this, but the big picture thing for me, they've got to shorten this game. They need to hold the Bills to 8 or 9 drives offensively. Once they start getting into that 10th, 11th, 12th drive, that's where they really start to click. That's their sweet spot. That's where they'll pull away. So, you know, that's to do that, that's running the football. That's not turning the ball over, things like that, just being smart about how you manage the game. But that, to me, is the big key tonight, is how much can the Patriots shorten the game, limit the total plays, and limit the total drives that the Buffalo Bills offense has on the field?
Yeah, I think part of that, too, is you can short-circuit drives with turnovers. And,
right,
you know, Josh Allen sort of does have the reputation to make plays for both teams, although he's played better against the Patriots of late. You sort of go back and look, you know, he was charged with a fumble in the first meeting on December the 6th, but that really was just a botched handoff. But if you look at his season overall and what he was able to do, you know, has 36 touchdowns passing, another 6 rushing against 18 turnovers. So do you think they can get Josh Allen to turn the football over?
As long as they do it early. I think if you let him get in a rhythm, and that's what we saw in week 16, is he just kind of clicked, and the Bills as a whole, I mean, it's not just Josh Allen. The Bills as a whole are very much built to play from ahead. There's very much a front-runner mentality. So if you let them get into that groove, and none of this should be breaking news. You want to play from ahead all the time. But
they've
got to get to him early. And I don't know that the answer to that is the blitz, just what he's been against the blitz this year. But coverage rotations or getting shots on him when he runs the ball and becomes a runner, something like that. Something to rattle him early. I think if they do that, yes, they maybe can trap him into some turnovers. That's what the Falcons did. That's what the Jets did. And then again, it comes back to just don't give him time at the end of the game to make up for it, because that's what he's done this year.
We're talking with Alex Barth, 98.5thesportshub.com. Alex, talk to me about this secondary tonight. What's this thing going to look like? There are so many guys that are going to be missing. The good news is it does appear that Kyle Duggar is going to play. I mentioned earlier a picture that the Patriots posted on Patriots.com of his jersey and pads in his locker, but also Mike Reese with a tweet a few minutes ago making it sound like he is going to be a go. So how do they put this thing together?
So oddly enough, I think some of this depends on what will be one of the key decisions Sean McDermott makes in this game, and that is who's in the slot for the Buffalo Bills. And you guys were talking about the Diana Russini tweet earlier, right, about Cole Beasley seeing more targets. Is that really what the Bills want to do? Because we saw what Isaiah McKenzie did to Miles Bryant in that second matchup. And I think Miles Bryant's a good player. I think he adds something to the secondary. But he's simply not fast enough to keep up with Isaiah McKenzie, one of the fastest players in the league. Cole Beasley's more of a technician. I actually like Miles Bryant's chances against Cole Beasley more than I do against Isaiah McKenzie. So if the Bills are going to put Cole Beasley out there, I think that kind of helps the Patriots, where you hope J.C. Jackson can take care of Diggs. I'll give Miles Bryant a shot on Cole Beasley, and then Juwan Williams with help on Gabriel Davis or Emmanuel Sanders. It's not the best situation, but I don't hate it, right? I think all things considered, it's not a bad spot to be. If you put Isaiah McKenzie out there, and now you got to figure out a way to swap out your slot corner because we know Miles Bryant can't handle that matchup on top of losing Jalen Mills, Well, now your head's really spinning. So that's something I'm looking for early in the game. And Beasley has taken over the role back after he missed that game against the Patriots. Isaiah McKenzie's played more than he did previously, but that's still the only game of the season where he's more than two catches. If the Bills are smart, they'll tell Cole Beasley to take tonight off and put Isaiah McKenzie out there. That would be a problem. If Beasley's out there, I actually think that's advantage Patriots.
So that ties into something I wanted to ask you about, which is from the Patriots side of this. You know, do you still go with J.C. Jackson's our one, and we're going to put him on Diggs, and, you know, we'll live with that matchup? Because this was a stat I saw this week. You know, Diggs has 15 catches for 233 yards and three touchdowns against J.C. Jackson going back to the 2020 season. Jackson has only allowed four touchdowns as the nearest defender to all other players combined over the past two seasons per NFL Next Gen. For whatever reason, that matchup does not seem to be one that favors J.C. Jackson the way most matchups do week in, week out. So do you consider doubling, to go back to the Diana Russini report, do you consider doubling Diggs and taking Jackson off Diggs and using him somewhere else?
Look, it's something the Patriots have done in the past. They haven't done it in a while, but they used to do it, you know, the early Stephon Gilmore days. If they had Jalen Mills, I'd feel better about it. Even with help over the top, I just don't know about putting Juwan Williams out there on Stephon Diggs. I think you're asking for it if you do that. So it's not a horrible idea in theory, but I just don't think they have the personnel to do it tonight.
Right. They don't have whoever that clear-cut second corner is right now.
Right.
They don't, not without Mills. And even with that, I would question that decision even with Mills, because even though the stats for Stephon Diggs against J.C. Jackson are pretty good, those stats could get better in theory, guys. Like, it could get out of hand quickly.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the last thing the Patriots want to run into.
But who's doubling? I mean, is it McCourty who's over the top? Because then I don't feel terrible about it. I'm not saying that's 100% what they should do, but I'm just saying, like, you know, if I have one of my best secondary players who's over the top doubling, and I have a quarterback in Josh Allen who sometimes will force the football, I might be able to force him into a mistake. You know, and also,
let's stop right there. What's your level of confidence in Devin McCourty right now?
I mean,
that's a topic that gets avoided.
I mean, I would say my level of confidence relative to what the rest of the secondary is and what the other options are for sort of a center field deeper type safety is still high. I still have a high level of confidence in him. I do. You know, I mean, obviously, I know he's getting up there in years. Look, it's a realistic debate, but I just think, you know, what is it? You know, what's the definition of madness? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result? Like, we're at a point now where you see that J.C. Jackson can't take away Diggs. So I would at least consider switching it up. It doesn't mean all game you have to play one way, but it might be a nice sort of switch up to try and throw Josh Allen off and have him throw into coverage because he just wants to throw to Diggs.
So I think
I think there's a lot being, you know, in our discussion here, being a lot of attention being paid to Diggs, whereas if the Patriots are going into this game, they have to approach it with how they always approach it, which is we've got to take away your best thing. We've got to make you play left-handed, and that thing is Josh Allen. I mean, that's what this comes down to. They've got to get after that guy. They've got to make him uncomfortable before they have to worry too much about covering Diggs, because –
Really? Because he targeted Diggs 13 times in the game he played on the 26th when he looked comfortable.
Yeah, right? That's my point. Like, I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying, but part of him being comfortable is feeling like he can get the ball to Diggs.
Yeah, but I think the biggest part is that he was just comfortable, period, because he really didn't feel any pressure. I don't care that the stats said 45% of the time. I don't buy that number.
I think you asked the rest of the NFL, when did Josh Allen take off? It was Stephon Diggs getting to Buffalo. I don't think those two things are a coincidence.
So I think, too, in all of this, right, the part
I think
of,
you're taking something away from Josh Allen in that one based on the way he played on the 26th. He was ridiculous.
I think part of it, too, in all of this, though, is, you know, that report indicates the Patriots are going to play man, which probably isn't the way to go. Allen struggled against zone this year.
Okay.
And the other thing about this, and this is where you can get into maybe making Josh Allen more uncomfortable, when you play zone, you're going to have 11 pairs of eyes on the quarterback.
Yeah.
More so than in man. And that's where, you know, how do you make Josh Allen uncomfortable? I think taking away Diggs is part of it, but I think the more prudent way to do it, not saying that Diggs doesn't help make him comfortable, is to not let him leave the pocket and not let him run. Because when he starts moving around, that's when he gets in that zone, is when he starts playing that playground football. So if you play in zone, it's going to be harder for him to do that. Then maybe he locks more in on Diggs if you force him to be more of a pocket passer, because that has been a tendency for him. When he can't run around, he looks to Diggs to bail him out. And if you can get him doing that, that's where all of a sudden, okay, maybe you start throwing that double team in. Maybe you start going Jackson and McCourty, something like that, and that's where you can bait him into the mistake. A lot of ifs in there, certainly. Easier said than done.
Yeah,
but that seems like a path.
Sure. Yeah, and the other big if here is what we talked about earlier, which is Barmore and Judon and what percentage they're playing at right now. I think Judon's probably in better shape than Barmore. I mean, there's been a question all week as to whether or not Barmore would even be available.
And so I wonder if this is finally the game where we see them unleash one of these more athletic, younger pass rushers they have, specifically Josh Uche.
I feel like it's Uche.
Yeah. He looked good against Miami. And look, I get why he didn't play a ton in the middle of the year. Judon and Van Noy were playing so well, you just couldn't take him off the field. You couldn't justify it. Especially with Judon right now, that's not the case. And they need that athleticism on the field. I get that the Winovich ship may have kind of sailed. I think Josh Uche should play a somewhat significant role in the defensive game plan.
I want that athleticism on the field as well.
Yeah, the other idea that was thrown out there this week by Zoe was maybe getting Hightower up on the line of scrimmage and using him off the edge in this game.
Yeah, I don't hate that. Look, they've gone to that in big games before. We all remember what happened to Atlanta. I think, I've kind of been combing through this week looking like at the last 10 years at what are some of these one-off defensive oddities that they've used before, and Hightower's a pass rusher. One they haven't used in a long time, but the circumstances might dictate tonight. They used to occasionally pull Devin McCourty up and have him play outside corner. Now, I don't know that they have the safeties to fill in for him to do
They don't. Alex. Alex, come on. Now you're getting crazy. They can't do that.
I don't know that they can, but they've done it in the. They're going to have to do something weird tonight. They're going to have to do something that they haven't done this year. Maybe they haven't done in the last couple of years tonight.
There's got to be a big wrinkle in there. I need to ask you before we let you go. We're behind, but I'm going to ask you anyway, and I'm going to piss off our producers. What's your offensive line tonight? They're dealing with injuries there, too.
I think they're going to go with Heron at left tackle, hopefully a short leash, because especially with how much they're supposed to run the ball, get the two 360-pound guys out there, Trent on the left side, Mike Onwenu on the right side.
All right, Alex, thank you as always. Alex Barth, 98.5thesportshub.com. He'll have plenty of coverage of this game on Twitter and on the website as well once it becomes a final here tonight. So, Alex, hopefully this is not the last time we're talking to you this year.
Hopefully not, yeah.
All right, Alex Barth, 98.5thesportshub.com.